So, Lord Brahma is praying. He's offering his prayers. In the verse before the two verses we just read, Brahma is praying that he's endowed with great power. And he speaks about the nature of the absolute truth and the different universes and the opulences and the unlimitedness of all existence. Here, Brahma is saying something that is really amazing. That Brahma is really what we might say the most intelligent. When we think of intelligent beings, we have to think of Lord Brahma. He has such great intelligence that he's been given the charge to create or put in place all the forms and all the permutations that exist within the universes, in his universe. He's empowered to do such great service. Imagine such responsibility. And we have to manage a temple, or we have to manage a household, or we have to manage our bank accounts, or we have to manage something. But to manage the universe, and his management means that it has to work according to Krishna's direction. If things get out of line, ultimately his servants, the demigods, are responsible to reorganize things accordingly. And if they can't do it, then he has to do it himself, Brahma. So he has his own, what we say, servants, demigods, who do everything by his direction. But in the beginning, he put everything in place. Such great intelligence. Now, he's with such big responsibility, with such great intelligence, and he's good. He does it right. And if things go wrong, he puts it back in place. So he gets a lot of credit for being Lord Brahma. But he's saying that it's only by the grace of the Lord that I can do this work. This is amazing. When you don't do really much, you know, you can try to say, well, yes, it's God's grace. When you do something great, the tendency is to start to think in terms of myself as being the doer. Because actually, if we analyze it from our limited perspective, you know, it's my intelligence, my facilities, and I'm actually doing it. I'm actually, because of me, it's being carried out, and the results are actually due to me. This is called false ego. False ego is the most subtlest of all, what we say, conceptions of material contamination. It's the most subtlest, but it's the most powerful. The more subtle you get, the more powerful it gets, in the sense that it can't even be seen. It is so powerful. If something can be recognized easily, and it's not as powerful. Something deviant can be recognized. It's not as powerful as something that is unrecognizable. So in the same way, this false ego is so strong. But Brahma, he constantly worships the Lord with such prayers. But even he sometimes gets, what we say, overcome by his own illusion. It's like we know the story from Srimad Bhagavatam. Wonderful story. One of the most beautiful pastimes in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. It was the last pastime that Srila Prabhupada wrote on before he departed from this world. Brahma Mohan Leela. What was that Leela? If you read that Leela and you read Srila Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada put so much feelings into this particular Leela, describing it with such devotion and such detail. But Brahma, he saw Krishna kill this powerful demon, Agasura. Huge, monstrous demon. His mouth, when he opened his mouth, he was a snake, a huge snake. He was sent by Kamsa to destroy Krishna. And he opened his mouth really wide. It was 8 miles high. Now that's high. And we don't see such demons nowadays. Nowadays they're about 5 feet six, maybe six feet two, or maybe they get up to six. I don't know. But usually, you know, such demons don't exist, at least within our range of perception. But this powerful demon, he came. And he was actually really vengeful against Krishna. He had his own, what we say, grudge against Krishna. Krishna killed his brother and his sister. His sister was Putana witch, and his brother was Bakasura. So he was really eager to do the service of killing Krishna. So he was enthusiastic. So he laid down on this path, and he opened his mouth so wide. Cowherd boys were playing with Krishna. And they just looked, and they saw, oh, look, there's a cave there. Let's go run into the cave. And some of the boys said, no, it's not a cave, it's a demon. It's all right, Krishna saved us before, he'll save us again. There's nothing to worry about. So, you know, somehow or other it mentions that Krishna's attention was somehow slightly diverted. And then the cowherd boys took the opportunity and ran into the mouth of the demon. And then they were there, and they were playing around, but the demon was waiting for Krishna to come in. He kept his mouth open. So when Krishna walked, finally when he saw, this is an interesting part of the pastime, because the acharyas describe, at least Srila Prabhupada describes, using the acharya's statement that when Krishna saw what had happened, when all his little friends, his cowherd friends, ran into the mouth of the demon, he said Krishna became bewildered. Now, how's that possible? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bewilders everyone through his energies, and his energies cannot bewilder him. They work under his direction. Sometimes we have energies, but they bewilder us also. But Krishna is not like that. His energies are always what we subordinate to him in all respects. But when he saw what was happening, he actually, as apparently mentioned, he became bewildered. Why is it mentioned that? Did he actually become bewildered? Actually, no. But the acharyas make that statement, and Krishna was performing that, what we say, bewilderment pastime, just to show the conditioned souls that Maya is so strong it can even bewilder me. It can. But he wanted to demonstrate just how powerful Maya's bewildering power is. So then Krishna became unbewildered, and then he ran into the mouth also, and then when he went in there, the demon closed his mouth. And then Krishna took the opportunity to kill the demon, and he came out of the top of his head, and then this demon's soul merged into Krishna's body. First it went straight up into the sky, and then it didn't. Everyone saw his soul go right into the body of Krishna. Brahma saw that. He was amazed. Who is this cowherd boy? Brahma was somewhat bewildered. Who is this cow? He didn't recognize it as his master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he decided to play a trick on Krishna. He decided to play a trick just to test Krishna. So Krishna was a little later on, they just had a nice picnic, because after killing the demon, you celebrate. Right? So they sat down, and they were all sitting there, and they were having lunch on the banks of the Jamuna. And the cows were there, and the calves were there, and Krishna was there, and they were having a good time. They were feeding each other by taking the food in each other's from each other's lunch pail and put it in each other's mouth, enjoying each other's association so nicely. Sometimes one cowherd boy would look at Krishna and say, what did Mother Yasoda make for you? And then they would look in there, and then they would steal his lunch. Or sometimes they'd look into another cowherd boy's lunch pail, and they would say, ooh, that's not so nice. They would just play with each other, make fun of each other. So they're always having a good time, joking and laughing. And Krishna's always the center, and Krishna's enjoying being ridiculed by his friends also. This is Vrindavan. And so after some time, the cows went away. So Krishna said, I'll be right back, I'll go get the cows. So the calves and the boys were still there, and Brahma took the opportunity, using his mystic power, he stole those calves and boys and put them in a cave nearby. And Krishna came back, and immediately he could understand this is the work of Brahma. What a rascal. Who does he think he is, anyway? So Krishna took the opportunity to expand himself. And this is the most amazing explanation within the scriptures, that he expanded himself exactly as each and every cowherd boy, down to the detail of their personality, their speech tones, their dress, everything, the way they do things. You know, each person has a personality, and Krishna replicated that personality perfectly. And he did that with the calves, too. So, and then everything was apparently the way it was before Brahma had done his act. And then Brahma came back and he looked and he saw. He said, what is this? But it took him a year to get there. It was actually a year's time within the calculation of Brahma's. No, it was one moment by Brahma, but it was 1 year by regular calculation of time. And during that year, Krishna did the most amazing things. He wanted to just take care of other business. When Krishna does something, he usually accomplishes many things in one act. So he was thinking, because when the cowherd boys would come home to their mothers, which they did every day after playing, now these cowherd boys were Krishna. They weren't the same cowherd boy. And when the mothers saw the cowherd boys, they become so attracted to their own children that their love for their children was reaching such heights of emotion that they couldn't understand it. They were bewildered by their own love for their children. We're never feeling such love for our children like this before. What is this? They were just so attracted. But actually, each boy was actually Krishna. So actually, their love was actually for Krishna. And then the calves. When the cows would see the calves, and it's explained that the cowherd men were taking care of the calves in the pasture, the cows in the pasture. The calves were in a different place. But as soon as the cows saw their calves, they ran full speed. It said they galloped. Now cows don't gallop. Horses gallop, but cows don't gallop. They run. They're nice. They're a little more graceful than very cows. They can't run fast because they have these big bodies. But they were galloping. And their milk bags, which were so full of milk, were actually dripping milk on the pasturing grounds of Vrindavan, that the whole field was becoming muddied by the milk. Because the love for the cow, for the calf, is its milk. It expresses it that way. Same with a mother for her child. She expresses her love in the same way. So, when the cowherd men were becoming, what's happening to the cows? We never saw the cows like this before. They see their calves every day, more than once a day. That was amazing. So this went on for a whole year, and whole Vrindavan was just electrified by such devotion that it had never experienced before. And Krishna told the cowherd families, he said, this is a good year for marriage. There's many young gopis that are already in line for husbands. And usually they get married to the cowherd boys. But because each of the cowherd boys was Krishna, Krishna fulfilled their desire by getting them married to himself in the form of a particular cowherd boy. So Krishna did that. And this went on for a whole year. And so many, the mood of Vrindavan was so, exhilarated, electrified with such devotion that has never experienced previously. Now Balaram, he was looking, he was thinking, what's going on here? I never saw anything like this. Is this some mystic yogini? She's coming to Vrindavan and is creating a spell? I see Sri Radha Gokulananda Kida. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So Balaram, he was apparently bewildered by Krishna's, what we say, maya, or yoga maya. And he was looking, he was thinking, I never saw this before. What's going on here? Is this some mystic yogini came into Vrindavan and is doing all these spells? Then he was thinking, maybe it's Krishna. Krishna's doing this. It's got to be Krishna. Because when the calves and cowherd boys were taken by Brahma, what happened was that Balaram's birthday, that's actually Balaram's birthday. So when we celebrate the Balaram's appearance day in August, usually, in August, that's the day of the Brahma Mohan Leela. We can also celebrate that Leela on that same day. So, Balaram, and Krishna told him the whole thing, revealed everything to Balaram. And then the year was up. And Brahma decided, after one moment of his time, which was 1 year, he came back, and he was looking, and he saw the same scene was there on the banks of the Jamuna as it was before he even did anything. So he was bewildered. So he ran into the cave just to see. And the boys and calves were in the cave, in the sleep, in the slumber that he put them in. He ran back, he saw them again. He ran back again. He didn't know what was happening. The supreme creator within the universe, Brahma, whose intelligence is so great, became bewildered. And then finally, after some time, he started to realize within his heart that this must be my worshipful Lord, Lord Sri Krishna himself. And then finally he surrendered to Krishna and revealed his foolishness, that I didn't know who you were, I actually did all this. And Krishna was not so impressed by Brahma's prayers. You can actually see the picture. Krishna's eating something, and Brahma's the big-headed Brahma with his foreheads, and Krishna's just looking in another direction like, you know, I'd rather play with my cowherd friends than waste time with you, you know. Krishna wasn't so much inspired. So Brahma finally said the right thing, and finally Krishna responded. He said, my dear Lord, I'm so proud. I'm so arrogant. I have such a big position. Therefore, I committed this great offense. How can I overcome this? Please give me the opportunity. And the Lord actually gave him a benediction. He said, in my next Leela, when I appear in Navadvip Dham, you will also appear there, but you will be born in a Mohammedan family, and you will be considered to be an outcast. So he took his birth as Srila Haridas Thakur. That was Lord Brahma's next birth. And we know from that birth that his humility was the perfection of humility. So Brahma wanted that position just to worship the Lord in humble devotional service. Because playing the role of Lord Brahma, creating big universes, and doing such big service, it's really hard to become humble. Although he recognizes the supremacy of the Lord, to actually become utterly humbled and dependent on the Lord, he wanted this opportunity to be in a less fortunate material situation, and therefore get the mercy of the Lord completely. So here, he's praying, I'm empowered by the grace of the Lord to create the universe. But still, he makes these mistakes. Although he knows, even in our own day-to-day life, we know that everything depends on Krishna, but we don't always know it. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get into this illusion that, you know, I'm the doer. But Bhagavad Gita explains, what is this idea? First, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, I'm not the doer. And then he says, you're not the doer. In the 18th chapter, in one verse in the 18th chapter, he says the living entity actually is the doer. But in another place, he says the living entity is not the doer. So, and then Krishna says, I'm the doer, but then in another place he says, I'm not the doer. Prakriti kriyamana ni guni karmani guna karmani sarvasyaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That the bewildered conditioned soul under the influence of the material energy thinks themselves actually doing activities. But the results of the activities are carried out by material energy for materialistic activities and by this mercy of the Lord through the process of devotional service for devotees. It's not the same energy. But when we start to take the position of, or take the, what we say, the credit for being the doer, we actually enter into this consciousness of false ego. Therefore, this is a very essential principle of devotional service, to always be, this is one of the six symptoms of the surrender, to always be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And that's the success of our movement. And Prabhupada would say, he said to his devotees, he said, we could take over the whole world in 18 days, but you're not ready. That means you're not fully surrendered. The more we surrender, the energy of and mercy of the Lord works through the person. And the person can do wonderful things on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it explains that there's one verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think it's in chapter number 14. We don't have that here. Yeah. It says that simply by remembering Lord Chaitanya, the most easiest things, I mean, the most difficult things become easily carried out. And one who forgets Lord Chaitanya, even the simplest things become difficult. So this is the... So Lord Brahma, he has a big position. He's got great intelligence. But he, in his heart, he always remembers the Lord. And sometimes he forgets. Sometimes he does forget. And there's many instances in the life of Lord Brahma that... It even explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think in the, it's in the third canto, I'm not sure what chapter, 28th or 29th chapter, that because Lord Brahma, he goes to the spiritual world at the end of his life, but he can't stay there, he has to come back again, because he's still under the conception that he's Lord Brahma. Yeah, it's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I can find the verse. It's amazing that, now, this is interesting. Sometimes devotees are somewhat shy in thinking, well, I shouldn't do big things because if I do, I get all, my false ego will increase, right? Let me just remain very simple and do simple service. That way I can always remain humble and always be in the best position. But at the same time, Prabhupada is pushing us all. Preach, do more. Do more, surrender more, do more, like that. And why? Because Prabhupada wants to use the devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. And therefore, there is a great responsibility for each and every one of us to become Krishna conscious and to use whatever talents and abilities Krishna has, intelligence, to be an instrument for the mercy of other, of Lord Chaitanya, to spread this movement to others. So it's almost like a dichotomy. If you do big things, you get proud, but you still have to do big things. So, but therefore, a devotee always remembers one's position and always is dependent on the mercy of the Lord in all situations. Because the mercy of the Lord is actually the success in devotional service. I mentioned it yesterday in class, how Mother Yasoda, although a pure, unalloyed lover of Krishna with no material, not even a slight consideration of material contamination, she couldn't catch Krishna until Krishna decided to be caught. Only when Krishna actually decided to be caught could she catch him. Otherwise, she was unable to do it. And then, even when she caught him, she couldn't tie him up until Krishna agreed to be tied up. So, Prabhupada makes this point throughout the scripture so many ways, and he emphasizes so much, that The mercy of the Lord is the success in devotional service. Therefore, what is the devotee's main mood? Is always begging, praying for the mercy of the Lord. That is our success in Krishna consciousness. Always praying for the mercy of the Lord. Always praying for the mercy of the spiritual master, which is the mercy of the Lord coming through the spiritual master. And that prayer, sincere prayer, the prayer has to be sincere. Because when it's less than sincere, Krishna will still give you options for other things. When you sincerely pray for the mercy of the Lord, sometimes it takes one to be smashed by Maya to pray like that. We don't have to go through that. We don't have to get smashed by Maya to actually be praying. We can learn from other people who've been smashed. And we can learn from the examples of the great souls who teach us by the examples in their own lives that success really means the mercy of the Lord. So a devotee is a beggar. You may be a Kurarpati, but still you're a beggar. You may be have so many material appliances, but in the face of success in execution of devotional service, we're always begging, praying for the mercy of the Lord. And that mercy, Krishna likes to give it. And when giving it, he's also giving himself. Because when you get Krishna, then you get the full mercy of the Lord. Because Krishna's mercy comes with Krishna. So Brahma, he's got a big post. Don't aspire for the platform of Lord Brahma. You can get that position if you want by performing so many austerities and penances and become a Lord Brahma. It's not, but we actually, just like it's explained, Prabhupada mentions that what is really the aspiration of a devotee in a practical sense of one's devotional service. He says many of the children that are born in our movement are actually coming from the higher planets. There are demigods coming into our movement in the form of our children. And they're praying, let me take birth in Lord Chaitanya's movement so I can engage in the Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada said, they're lining up to take birth in ISKCON. Why? Because to have the opportunity to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya directly through the Sankirtan movement is the greatest benediction. So that's the mercy of the Lord, to take part in the Sankirtan movement and to preach, to glorify the Lord by engaging in devotional service, especially Harinam Sankirtan. To go, I know London, we go out practically every, I know Soho Street goes out every day, does Harinam. Also on Saturday night, which is tonight, right? Today's Saturday, isn't it? That'll be a nice Harinam. So this is the way to taste the happiness in Krishna consciousness and to actually give that same mercy to the fallen conditioned souls in London. And boy, is London fallen. It is one of the most fallen places. I think you might have to rename this place. As make it added to one of the 28 hells. You know, we can call it, make it the 29th hell. Some places in London, you just, whew, people look like from a different planet. And it's not Swargaloka either. it's such sense gratification, you know. So they're conditioned, they're spirit souls too, they're suffering. And Harinam Sankirtan is all attractive. It's the most attractive. Prasadam and Harinam, philosophy, that's for a few people. Not everyone can handle philosophy. They get bewildered. What is this stuff you're talking about? Give them some prasadam, some Harinam, they're happy. And then after that, after a while, with a sufficient amount of heavy dosage of Harinam and some prasadam, they'll say, maybe I should read this book here. And the consciousness starts to come back to a little bit normal again. So, because they cannot understand this philosophy, and too much, what we say, bad experiences So this is the mercy of the devotees. The devotees want to give the mercy in the form. So Lord Brahma, he performs his service in such a way as the Lord is pleased. And in the same way, we want to please the Lord by spreading Krishna consciousness to others. Okay, any questions, comments?